China has warned Australia not to send the wrong signals, that's the quote, over the future of Taiwan, after our Defence Minister, Peter Dutton, told insiders on Sunday that conflict over the island's future should not be discounted. At a news briefing yesterday, a spokesperson for the Chinese Foreign Ministry said China wanted peaceful reunification with Taiwan and urged Australia to understand what he called a sensitive issue. This exchange of words over Taiwan came after the Secretary of the Department of Home Affairs, Mike Pezzullo, told staff in the department, quote, that the drums of war are now beating. Oriana Schuyler-Mastro is a centre fellow at Stanford Freeman Spogli Institute for International Studies. Oriana Schuyler-Mastro, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Thank you for having me.
Peter Dutton said on the weekend that a conflict in Taiwan should not be discounted. Do you agree with that statement?
I do agree with that statement, and that has been a true statement probably since 1949, but especially in the past 18 months or so.
He went on to say people just need to be realistic about the activity when there's militarization of bases across the region. Obviously, there's a significant amount of activity. There's animosity between Taiwan and China. So that's the backdrop to his comment. And now we have the comment from the Secretary of the Department of Home Affairs, Mike Pezzullo, who told his staff that the drums of war are beating and the country must be prepared to send off yet again our warriors to fight. So that's quite some rhetoric coming from Australia. Do you believe that the degree of militarization that we're seeing is enough to give rise to these kind of warnings in the immediate or short term?
Well, it depends what you mean by immediate or short term. The degree of militarization is definitely concerning, and it clarifies, if anyone had any doubt, that China plans on armed reunification. They have had a plan in place now for 3 5-year plans of their military to be able to develop the capability to take Taiwan by force. They achieved those goals in 2020. And that's why we see a lot more Chinese military activity around Taiwan, because they're much more confident that they can use their military to achieve those goals. And so it has become much more severe, though I do believe if China had the choice, they would like to wait a handful more years to get some more practice before they finally make that move.
Okay, so if China plans on armed reunification, that's obviously at odds with the comments from the Chinese Foreign Ministry yesterday that said China sought peaceful unification, urging Australia to fully understand the high sensitivity of the Taiwan issue.
Well, as leaders always say, they want to do things peacefully. That doesn't provide us any insights. You know, that's why 80% of wars actually happen over territory. But the 2005 anti-secession law in China states that if peaceful reunification is not possible, they have to switch to armed reunification. And all signs suggest that not only is peaceful reunification not happening, right? The people of Taiwan have not become more and more willing to unify with the mainland, but with the re-election of Tsai Ing-wen and other developments, the domestic debate in China has also shifted, and they've come to the realization that it is highly unlikely that they will win over Taiwan through peace alone.
So what are the signs that, as you read them, and Peter Dutton and Mike Pezzullo are talking about there, the increasing militarization, can you just give us some examples of what's been going on?
Well, first, in terms of the immediate, we see the Chinese military engaging in many more activities around Taiwan. So, for example, China conducted 380 incursions into Taiwan's air defense identification zone throughout 2020. We saw just this month, in mid-April, they sent the largest fleet ever of 25 fighters and bombers into this area. So it's clear that China is no longer trying to avoid escalation at all costs, because they now have military options if things do escalate, right? These aren't the days of 1996 where the United States can sail an aircraft carrier in the vicinity of Taiwan and China backs off.
Because the US, I think, is still of the belief, isn't it, or was of the belief that it did have supremacy, military supremacy, if it came to this.
Well, the problem is that the Chinese military is still inferior to the U.S. military, but that doesn't mean there aren't scenarios in which China would prevail. And those scenarios are becoming greater and greater, especially if the U.S. does not have sufficient warning that an attack is coming. And one thing that you get warning from is if you see large-scale mobilizations. And so another reason China is constantly doing these exercises, operations, and activities around Taiwan is it will become normal. The next time we see 25 fighters and bombers heading towards Taiwan, we won't think it's an attack, but one day it might be.
And China is confident, you said, increasingly confident that it has the capacity to outmaneuver the US militarily to take Taiwan by force?
Absolutely. So the U.S. and a lot of China experts have a debate right now of whether China is 100% ready to conduct a high-level joint operation, right? This is the Air Force and the Navy working together to land on Taiwan. Now, this debate between Western experts say maybe China needs another 5 years, another 6 years, another 10 years. But if you look at Chinese writings, and in my discussion with Chinese military officers, they said Xi Jinping told us to be ready by 2020, and we're ready to do it.
The U.S. government under Joe Biden most recently has been signaling pretty clearly itself that it stands able to defend Taiwan, or it has a commitment to Taiwan being able to defend itself, hasn't it? So the US has been signaling here too.
Right. So I think that's a very important clarification that you just made. The signal is that the United States is willing to defend Taiwan. The problem is that the uncertainty in Beijing is no longer just about U.S. intervention, but about U.S. capability. The Chinese military thinks that they could still prevail even if the United States intervenes. And so in addition to signaling a commitment to Taiwan's defense, the United States has to do much more to actually improve its capabilities in the region, especially in terms of early warning, like I mentioned, and also some firepower options to keep China from being able to take Taiwan by force.
So what's the option here against, a military annexation or reunification, shall I say? I mean, Australia adheres to Beijing's one China policy. I think America does too. So we don't formally recognise Taiwan as a country in its own right. Is that correct?
I think the one China policy is that the United States acknowledges that the people across both sides of the strait think there is one China. It does not really state what the U.S. position is on it, only that we acknowledge that that is China's position. In general, I think all we can do is push the timeline. Xi Jinping is not going to risk reunification as long as Taiwan doesn't declare independence. He's not going to risk reunification to take Taiwan by force. The issue is right now he doesn't think that that's going to be the risk, right? He's not going to be internationally isolated. The economy is not going to, be ruined by a war over Taiwan. So basically, the U.S. military has to improve its capabilities, and the United States and its allies have to be more coordinated such that China starts to believe the costs would be too high. That just buys us time until we come up with a technological solution to some of our military problems. We have a new leader in Beijing or what have you, some other type of spark.
Well, a new leader in Beijing, given the rule change, could be a long time, given the constitutional change, could be a long manifesto change could be a long time away. I don't think we can count on that. When you say technological change, you mean some kind of technological advantage militarily.
Exactly. To help the United States project power across vast distances more quickly and more efficiently.
Okay. Otherwise, peaceful, some way around this, what's the diplomatic change that would need to happen? Is there any sign of that happening?
I think China really cares about its international image, and it really cares about its economy. Their foreign policy since 1995 has been designed to keep countries from coming together in a coalition against China. So if we could signal to China that any sort of use of force against Taiwan would lead to that type of international isolation, something as severe as U.S. and its allies economically decoupling from Beijing, China will never do it. And then we would never have to follow through with that threat.
But Oriana, what makes you say that China cares about its diplomatic image? I mean, we've seen China put all sorts of trade bans on Australia, but even even more significantly, we've seen China move into Hong Kong there and really risk criticism from the world and showing it doesn't care about that at all.
Well, I think it's very interesting. If you look at how China uses force and how China uses its influence, it's so different than how the United States does it, right? Most of their foreign policy is designed to shape what other countries say, what corporations say, what individuals say about China, right? The United States government doesn't go around the region asking foreign leaders to make public statements about their position on Social Security or immigration reform. And so this is what gives me the idea that they really do care about their image. Now, of course, when it comes to sovereignty and territorial integrity, they're not going to sacrifice that for the sake of the image, but they do spend a lot of time, effort, and resources trying to shape how people view what they're doing at home.
Oriana, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Oriana Schuyler-Mastro is a Centre Fellow at Stanford Freeman Spogli Institute for International Studies.